listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, August 16th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here.
So glad to have you and welcome to those joining us live in the chat. We always appreciate seeing you and we appreciate your contributions. And thank you to those that take time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we will begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, we have an interesting topic. We're going to be talking about collective consciousness, and I think we have a few different avenues that we can go down on this. So I'm looking forward to it very much.
I don't think we've talked about this in quite a while.
Yeah.
Michael, I know we've touched on the subject in, you know, previous programs, but we've been doing the show a long time.
We have at that. And, yeah. You know, we have, you're right, we haven't touched on this specifically in a while, but because of how, you know, how closely related it is to so many other things that we talk about, it has come up. And, you know, I think that there are a lot of different angles we can take to look at this. And I know, Dr. Vicki, you and I talked about a few beforehand. I was thinking about 2 avenues primarily in my mind. We can talk about the materialist version of collective consciousness, which is social conditioning, you know, what the society is telling you about life and ethics, morality, ideologies, groupthink, and the more metaphysical aspect of a group kind of consciousness, that idea that the combined power, if you will, the combined essence of a world of human beings with consciousness, sentience, all of these things kind of forming this kind of interlocking, entangled element to being human. So I'm really looking forward to kind of looking at these ins and outs. And Dr. Vicki, you had an aspect that I really loved, and I can't wait to get into that as well.
Yeah, I think the third point of this little triangle would be the collective unconscious. And we'll dabble on that for a second. So because there's so much going on in the chat, I'd like to address that first, if that's all right, Michael.
Of course.
Because about last week's program and consciousness, you know, and death, and Jerry is suggesting that the spirit would be gone before your physical death. And I said, no, I don't think so. It might be if somebody's on life support. That might be. So Dr. Ione is following up and talking. So, and I want to say that I appreciate that Kevin went back and listened to last week's program again, and consciousness survives. And what form would it take when you're dead? Would you know? And it's lots to think about. And I appreciate you saying that, Kevin. So just a suggestion to go back into the archives and listen to last week's program. We covered so much ground on that.
Oh, we really did.
Yeah. And
it went long too.
Yeah. We went over time, but it's such a great topic also. And so now I think this is a good segue, into consciousness in general. If we all can agree that consciousness survives the physical, mm-hmm. then that's where I go into this other collective unconscious and what's going on spiritually or universally. But back to the circle of point one, that each of us has our own cultural consciousness, whether mm-hmm. it's a city, a country, a business for that matter. A business would have its own kind of rules, regulations,
culture.
And so on. Yeah.
And I think that's a wonderful segue, because whether you look at it from the materialist or the metaphysical side, the collective consciousness, or that kind of what is in the social awareness and the ideas and all the things you see in pop culture and movies and things, I think that definitely affects the way that you look at life after death, building upon different mythologies and stories that are in your society.
I agree. Absolutely. So I think the first point, as Michael started off in the beginning, is how each of us, and let me say this about New Age, the New Age movement. It really is approached from a westernized kind of concept of affluence, privilege, entitlement. So we can say, if you just project for what you want, you can get it, and mm-hmm. so on. But it doesn't take into account a global situation. So that's what I mean by, I think in this case, Michael, where we have a collective consciousness of, let's say, a westernized thinking. Because people in other countries of the world or continents wouldn't necessarily agree with that. They're in their
right.
own. If you go to Afghanistan, that's a completely different consciousness. So that cultural consciousness, the economic consciousness, I think is something that we have to be really aware of, and how we're buying into something. And everybody's got to pay your bills. You got to go to work. You need money to live. Mm-hmm. That's a consciousness in and of itself. So, we can get that in a way, but that wouldn't necessarily apply, or the New Age approach of projection and, law of attraction wouldn't necessarily apply if you're living in Niger. Right.
Absolutely.
Now. So we have to be careful about that. So studying collective consciousness, my point is that it's really a locale.
Oh, I completely agree. And a big part of collective consciousness is morality. And we can look at this too. What has been acceptable in society throughout the ages? And there are many, many immoral things that have been acceptable in society just because it's what people have always done. So they rationalize and they dehumanize. And I think that's where we come into this other aspect of avoiding groupthink, maintaining your individuality, having a grounded basis for your ethics, your morality, and realizing that just because something is commonplace and just because something is accepted culturally does not necessarily make it right. So,
well, and I think religions are a prime example of that. Any kind of dogmatic religion that is on a premise of its own and creating its members, I think at the root is financial, in my mm-hmm. view, but wanting to gather members, and that's emotional, intellectual, and financial. So it will create its own movement, what it thinks is doing for the good of everyone, when maybe not everyone agrees with that. And of course, we can, pick out everything from Christianity to, Islamic religions and everything in between. And for that matter, even, communistic societies where it feels that it can impose its will on all
right.
rather than the freedom to choose. So that is that psyche that wants to propel itself,
right?
I think this way, and that's really about power and control.
It is. It absolutely is. And I think that so often, just to get a little broadly, political in terms of philosophies, I think that so many people get frustrated with an open society, with a pluralistic, representative democracy, because sometimes change is slow sometimes it's messy. Well, not sometimes, it's always messy. And we often forget that the other side is where people are forced to do something, because there is no one universal utopia. Right. You know, for one utopia to exist, it means another person's utopia is destroyed, and then you have to force people into this behavior, which is another type of collective consciousness. You had mentioned, you know, these different religions, and the same fervor that can be taken to a secular thing like communism, like the Soviet state, where it very much had a almost religious structure. And belief was a very important part of it, belief in the Communist Party, in the system. And if you did not, if you spoke against it or did not toe the line, there were severe punishments.
I think this happened with taking over when, you know, Rome broke out and started taking over historically, you know, throughout Europe. And if you didn't agree, well, the suffering that happened, they'd starve you out or, you know, conversions. And I know the Sami people were the last to rebel against that. And, of course, it took place over North America, over indigenous people. So you either comply or you die, one way or another.
But at the same time, I mean, historically, that was happening before the Romans. I mean, the Celts did that themselves. That's why they spread their ideas in such. It was commonplace for societies to enforce religion because it was a cohesive unit for their culture, and it was a power mechanism. So, I mean, that's kind of a tale as old as time. The Romans weren't the first. They were just the biggest and the most memorable to us in the West. I think it's important to point out that, you know, while Rome was massive and it was heavily influential, it is not the biggest or the longest lasting empire. I think the Chinese kind of have that, or maybe the Indians. But it also goes just to that idea of, you know, people going along with the groupthink, going along with the culture, being part of that mass. And, you know, it's common, you know, if you're online, of course you've heard the term sheeple and things like that. Of course, I find it ironic that usually the people throwing around the word are the most, you know, sheep-like person out there following their own narrative.
I know.
But so that's just, a call to think for yourself. Avoid that groupthink. Maintain your individuality and have a good reason for what you believe, and have something that's grounded that you can point to with objective reason that's separate from any kind of cultural influence.
Well, and dare to question, you know, if you dare to ask questions. I'd like to also just a note here, everyone, about even, you know, when you said earlier, Michael, for every one good thing, something else has to be given up or die. The same thing with finances. You know, you play the stock market. Anytime you play the stock market, a life on earth has to die, you know, when you're playing that big business. And I know Eric Fromm had said back in, I think it was 1930s, the fear of industrialization is when people are told what to do rather than apprentice into their individuality, there would be a break at some point where they would spiritually rebel. And so in the name of finances, industrialization, and this, you know, monster of chaotic money, there is the flip side of people being oppressed, and that's in a collective consciousness itself where, you know, we tend to agree with it because we're, you know, all the rats in the cage doing the wheel, and we tend to buy into that unless we question who, what, where, when, why, how, and follow the money.
True, but that's also not a in a recent advent. It's the way humanity's been, with or without capitalism, with or without the stock market and things like that. I get what you're saying. I wouldn't say that every dollar it's a death, but, and you know, my point on utopia is just that there's no shared vision. So, you know, if somebody's going to enforce their vision, it means that another's isn't. But I also think that this plays heavily into ethics, and Dr. Mike had put in really the definition for collective consciousness. And
I was just going to read it. Go ahead, Michael.
So this is really the definition. I had read this earlier, too. Collective consciousness refers to the shared beliefs, attitudes, values, knowledge, and awareness that exists within a particular group or society. This means that what is accepted in one group may or may not be accepted in another, and there is no set of right and wrong. There's no set of right and wrong rules, which is a great thing, because I've often debated, is there a universal objective morality that's not tied to that kind of cultural, you know, morality, that cultural consciousness in that regard? And that's a lot of what I was thinking about, because I do think that if you if you agree to one value, and that value is that if you are aware and you can experience suffering and you have empathy, if you imply those values, then you can work your way from there. So if you can agree to at least that, then we can have a set of, you know, almost natural rules that govern how we should behave in terms of not inflicting pain. And that's how we, you know, we come to our ethics regarding, you know, things like animals. How do we treat animals and things like that? How do we treat each other? If we can approach it from that source of empathy. And
but everyone has their own idea of what it is to even be with nature or to be with animals, Michael. And that, again, I think a collective consciousness can be reduced right down to a family and what it passes down through its generations.
Yeah.
You know, if you're somebody who is a hunter, you know, and then you teach all your kids to hunt and that becomes your way.
Well, but even that, I mean, you can hunt, but to make the death clean and instant without suffering is a part of that culture.
Yeah, but so, there's big game hunters just want the head on the wall and they think that's okay.
Yeah.
And you and I think that's like, I mean, because I find it horrific.
Again, from that, why? You're inflicting pain for no reason, where hunting for food, there is a primal rationale.
And
but hunting for just
more
trophies?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I think that, look, I'm not against hunting, don't get me wrong. I think that it's just that a collective belief system, you know, in how people organize their thoughts and they agree upon a particular, you know, way of thinking, I think, and the values that they have. So what we're doing, hopefully, is evolving beyond that.
Yeah.
You say that. But in the evolution of human beings, you know, I think, what is the number, Michael? It only takes 10% of a population to start the pendulum to swing. You know, in a shared belief system.
Right. I haven't heard, but that sounds about right. And another great point is that we can influence the collective consciousness a little bit in our own way and shift the momentum. And when I was having a debate about ethics, about right and wrong, and if you can define right and wrong, with a friend of mine, and eventually we came to the point where, well, fine, if it's all, you know, pointless, and if every set of, you know, right and wrong values is completely subjective, then I am going to take my set of right and wrong, and that's what I'm going to push for. That's the world I'm going to create. One, you know, in my vision of fairness and, you know, equitability between different people and different animals, you know, it's, if we're going to get there, that's kind of when I get to the point where you say the brighter side of nihilism, right? Where you realize, okay, well, fair enough, then I'm going to use, if nothing matters and there's no great being in the sky that's handing down wisdom, well, let's figure it out on our own. Let's take what, you know, it matters to us and try to make the world that we want to live in.
Well, oh, I like this, Dr. Zach. You always come up with some one-liner. He said it takes one person in a dark room with a flashlight to light the way for others. That's awesome.
That's a great line.
That is true. I've always kind of agreed with this, that silence gives permission. If there's a whole bunch of people, you know, and they're making racist jokes and they're, you know, talking garbage, if you stay silent, it looks like you agree. You know, so I tend to ask questions and then leave, because I'm not going to go in their faces about this. It's just, this is not my gig. So I'm going to leave this room so it doesn't look like I'm going to. And hopefully they'll wonder why. Or I'm just going to say, I don't agree. And what do you think of this? And why do you believe that? And so it gets people thinking. Hopefully that might ignite some kind of a change to, you know, at least maybe one or two of the people in the group, maybe. But, you know, how do we each have that one moment where we have an opportunity to shed a light?
Absolutely. And often I've had a discussion where people say, well, you know, if you're in a group setting and you're arguing with one person in that group and people are observing the discussion, there are people that say, you know, well, why are you trying to convince them? They're never going to change their mind. They're never going to agree. They won't, you know, listen to reason, this, that, and the other. I say, because it's important for the people that are observing the back and forth.
I agree. Totally. It's stand your ground in a way, but don't necessarily, it doesn't mean we have to be antagonistic, but we can certainly, you know, state our case in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
and I think that this is where each of us has our own place to be able to ignite some kind of a change in society. I mean, it doesn't look like we're doing a very good job, you know, when you look at the big picture. Because I think what's happened largely in the last 3 decades, I'd have to say, is a lot of, I think it stems from the self-esteem movement that went too far, you know, a very kind of narcissistic or that
pendulum swung too far.
Oh, that covert narcissism about what about me? You know, what about me? I mean, I work all week. I shouldn't have to do any work around the house when it's Saturday. It's my day off, you know, when everybody else is sweating and toiling, you know. I think that it has gone the other way. But where we are, which whether it's a housing crisis, a financial crisis, or some other kind of crisis, we're now into multi-generational living. We're now into, you know, other ways of thinking, grow your own food, you know, start learning how to plant a garden, which a lot of people never know how to do that.
Yeah.
So the pendulum like rediscovering. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I thought I had a jump in point. Like rediscovering some of the, you know, older values, you know, which is a complicated thing. There are older values that are wonderful and we should take back, but I think I want to be careful because sometimes, say, if we harken back to older values, then I don't mean like socially either. Too many people want to go back when it comes to some of the civil rights that we won.
I think to know where things come from. I think that's where was the beginning. I know that's why I moved my kids when they were younger to a farm. And I know I've said this on the program before, but I had made homemade pancake syrup. And my kids said, oh, well, this is pretty good. Did you get the recipe from the bottle? And I went, whoa.
Well, little do they know that every Canadian, you know, is born knowing how to make syrup. I guess they just had to learn it.
From a tree. Anyway, no. So it's knowing where things come from. And I think that society as a whole, and this is part of another collective consciousness that is now kind of growing very subtly and slowly of, you know, growing your own herbs, growing your own food, growing, you know, or at least knowing where you're going to shop at the market and where does stuff come from. And it's no, the chicken didn't magically land in Safeway, you know,
yeah.
Whole Foods. It came from somewhere. And hopefully, you know, we're moving into a more conscious society. And I have to say this. Wendy just said she tries to make things herself. We recently started making almond milk as well, lots of other things. I think that's awesome. And if you don't follow Wendy's cooking page on Facebook, you should. She makes fabulous food. Something else to add about But can't forget that, Michael.
Nope.
We're both on the same wave. But I just saw a meme on Facebook the other day about somebody waiting in the morning for their almond to drip milk. I thought, that's funny.
That is funny.
We'll save it for the end of the program, Michael.
Okay.
So the collective unconscious fascinates me, and I go back to even the 1960s. This is all pre-internet, folks, where miniskirts are one side of the country to the other, or, you know, the music takes on a whole new thing, one side of the country to the other, and this whole freedom of love and love makes all. But, of course, the Vietnam War did that, you know, between the Korean War and the Vietnam War, but it even infiltrated into Canada, this unconscious something. You know, because it could have gone the other way of violent, but it went into love, right to Woodstock, where you could have tens of thousands of people in a place and not one incident of violence. And, you know, it boggles my mind in that collective unconscious where I say, huh, what's that current kind of thing about thinking in terms of love? I mean, it couldn't have just been John Lennon and Yoko. you know, that came in the 70s. So, you know, what is that unconscious energy that kind of gropes around? Now, I think everybody's had an experience where you had an idea and mm-hmm. then a month later you see somebody's marketing the product. And I think, you know, that's where, Dr. Mike said 500,000 people, he was there. Oh, I wanted to go so bad, Mike. I was 15 years old, I think, 16 years old. Friend of mine went. Anyway, it's a long story. Woodstock was magical at that time. But I just had to inject that. Oh, I digress. But that idea of you have an invention, I've seen this before. Talk to somebody, they had an invention. And then 2 weeks later, I see the same thing on whatever, and it just popped up. Or 6 months later, and it pops up, and you say, is there this energy or thoughts flying around the universe, you know, in our collective unconscious that we're picking up on? You know, and are we tuning in even at that super conscious level? Well, which I find fascinating, that, and I observe that, and I say, ooh, picking up on that thought. And could mm-hmm. that not also explain quantum entanglement, where mm-hmm. you have a thought and then somebody phones you?
Right,
hey,
right, exactly.
I just thought about you the other day.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think wonderful way to get into that kind of quantum entanglement and that that other level of kind of combined awareness and combined consciousness that, you know, kind of seems to bind us together. And I think that there's a, to broadly, overly simplify it, probably, it's to look at, you know, kind of the more emotional, kind of primal, you know, deep kind of side, and then there's the intellectual side. And I think a lot of that, what you were talking about earlier, the collective unconsciousness, I think that's where kind of that overarching maybe entanglement really resides, is in how we're being influenced on the unconscious level through that.
Well, I think that there's a lot to be said for that. It's a mystery, isn't it? It's like, where did that come from? How mm-hmm. did that happen? But we have to be really good observers also, and kind of tune in to, you know, what's going on around us. So we can't be myopic. We have to have that macro kind of sense of, putting two and two together. There is something to be said for a wider consciousness.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And the layers of consciousness.
And
so,
I think...
Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't know if you were kind of done on that. I think it's also interesting if we look at the impact that the internet and kind of a global community has had on our collective consciousness and what we define on it. And the internet, I've often said, is a double-edged sword, and I think mm-hmm. it is a wonderful thing, and I think it has caused harm at the same time, but it can be undeniable that the internet has had a huge impact on collective consciousness, because so much more information is being injected into it on that mm-hmm. intellectual level. And I think that probably feeds into our more emotional side as well.
Michael, I am going to be right back, because there's a book in my other room that I want to get and okay. bring back and talk about. You know what I mean. So keep
gotcha.
Talking. I'll be right back.
All right. So while Dr. Vicky's gone, we all get to talk about her and say whatever we want. So if you have anything that you don't want her to hear, put it in chat now and I'll throw it out. But while Dr. Vicky's getting that, I just think about, you know, kind of going on to that idea of the internet and how it impacts us in our global consciousness. Dr. Mike's point earlier about a collective society's values and things like that. I think that this has been the biggest shift probably in maybe 1,000 years. It's hard to say. I'm definitely not the expert to say it, but it is a catalyst moment where so much is being added in. We're having this massive debate within our societies, plural, and we are becoming more of a unified people, and that has an incredible impact on the collective consciousness, because the collective consciousness is now global. These things that we're talking about, all these things were, you know, to Dr. Vicky's point earlier, talking about how New Ageism is kind of almost a luxury to be had by people living in affluent societies that have the money to do it. I think now we have the ability to communicate with people and to get their life experiences and to get their perspectives from an entirely different life, it adds that information into our own collective consciousness, what's going on the other side of the world, and that impacts the decisions that we make. And, you know, Audra, I see your point to, you know, the internet, it literally brought the entire world together, and that's right. And I think in the end, it will definitely be better for us as a society. But at the same time, you know, when a lie traveled so fast around the world prior to the internet, now it's all that much faster. That means the truth is too, but the truth is always going to have to catch up. Lies are usually more sensationalistic, more interesting. And another part of collective consciousness. I wish Dr. Vicky was here to bounce off this one, because let's talk about how lies, propaganda, these things enter the collective consciousness. You know, all these horrible stereotypes and these different ideas of people. When your collective consciousness of your community is only fed with these stereotypes, that's, you know, when you see a lot of the most racist areas of the of this country and of, you know, I think a lot of the world, it is not always. It's a lot of times places where they don't really have much interaction with groups that they have strong feelings about. Yeah. Of course, the other side of that is true as well. But I think, you know, all of that kind of filters into this collective consciousness, and we're having this big debate about where are we going to go? All part of this global society and morality just being incredibly interlaid with this idea of our collective consciousness. And it's the, you know, the national debate, the global debate, you know, and it's a wonderful thing too, where it's the process, and it's kind of difficult, but it's the process of our social evolution.
Well, I think this is a good segue into, I would really like to expand next week on artificial intelligence. I've been doing a lot more research and a lot more understanding of it, and I'd really like to take that to another. I know we talked about it a number of weeks ago, but if we can really delve into it next week, I would appreciate that.
That's a great topic, talking about artificial intelligence.
So I had to go in my other room. We're segueing here, people. We're going to be drawing cards here in a minute. Put your names in the chat. But I have to say congratulations to Wendy. Uh-huh. So I haven't read it yet. The minute I saw it online, I went and bought Enigmas of the Extraordinary, the introduction, written by Emma Roberts, pen name of our Wendy White, I might add. It's available on Amazon, so Enigmas of the Extraordinary. I'm so excited. I'm just going to read you a line on the back of the book. In the captivating first book of the Enigmas of the Extraordinary series, embarking on a thrilling journey into a world teeming with mystery, danger, and supernatural wonders. So, plug for Wendy.
So happy to plug it too, and I haven't gotten it yet. I need to circle back around and do that. Thank you for the reminder, but I did check out the jacket, and the it looks, I mean, just wonderful. I love it. So happy for you, Wendy. Such a hearty congratulations, and I just can't wait.
Well, I got my book in quick order. It took 3 days, and so they're all over it. Wendy, you've done a great job of you know, setting all your pegs in a row. So congratulations. That's fabulous. You know, we want to support. This is like an extended family here.
And, yeah, it is.
You know, we have our own collective consciousness here, and we want to certainly support everyone in all their endeavors. So it's very exciting.
Absolutely. So definitely encourage everybody to go check it out. And just one more time, Dr. Vicky, what was that title?
Enigmas of the Extraordinary. Okay. By Emma Roberts.
And you can find it on Amazon.
You can.
And then we're all going to get it. We're going to have a book club discussion and have Wendy on to talk about it. We're going to have a live reading from the author. She hasn't agreed yet, but we're going to.
And then I want to know a little hint of the sequel. You see, it's the introduction. This is like going somewhere.
I love it. I love it. I cannot wait. So happy for you.
Okay, so for those who are joining us for the first time or those in the archives, Michael draws a card from the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery books designed by Dr. Doug Kelly, founder of IMHS, TFU, and, of course, Metaphysical Humanism, And I draw a tarot card in support of that. Maybe there's a little message there for some folks.
Right.
So we have Ione first, I think.
I think Jerry. Yeah, Jerry first.
Ooh, see? You're on it, Michael.
good thing, too, because most of the time I'm not. But Jerry, for you, I have number 16, continuity of life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There is a reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin. Good card.
It is. And Jerry, when you have the Ace of Diamonds, whew, the Ace of Pentacles, you're on the verge of something. So that continuity of life, supported with the, basically, think of the physicality of life and finances and the rewards, the value for value, energy you're putting out, it's coming back in the way I think of a monetary compensation. So I what I want to say to you is keep going, don't give up. So if you have your moments of, I don't know if I can do this anymore, you know, because everybody has them, just persist, keep going, because you're getting there. So I like it.
Good message.
Now right. We have Ione.
Dr. Ione, I have for you number 23, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
Well, I got, you know, strangely, the King of Hearts, and I thought, well, how does that relate? And then I thought, so I chose another card I own, and it's a Knight of Spades, and I went, I think you're dealing with male energy here, and how that fits, how you feel about it, how you're learning about your own autonomy, your own individuality in a way with regard to relationships, and in particular how that relates to male energy. And that's a big step for women, I think, and not meaning to sound feminist in a way, but although it might come across this way.
How dare you?
I know, how dare me. How do you retain your autonomy, individuality, when you're also in a shared space? That's a learning thing if you haven't had it before, or if you're relearning it. So I think where you're going with your thoughts, she just said those are perfect cards for what's going on in her life with the meaning and purpose. So I think that this may add another dimension of thought for you. I'm just saying. I think we have Michael G. next. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it helps when I'm not on mute, doesn't it? That's the very first time that's ever happened to me. I think we can all know that that's never happened to me before.
Yeah, right.
But Michael, I have for you number 6, entropy. It's the first wild card of the night, number 6. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still, and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers their personal entropy, and the world is a better place.
Boy, Michael, you're onto something, because not only is that a wild card, entropy, the star is a major arcana, and the star is, I see that as consciousness, that flow of consciousness, that flow, think of water, in a way, and it's your energy and your consciousness altering. So I don't know if you woke up downloaded one morning, you know, or if you suddenly felt a shift. And because we all go through those stages where I'm not who I was yesterday, but who am I now? And not just a matter of physical experience or encounters with other humans, but some days we just feel different. And I think that's something that you're going through, Michael, is you're just different. So you're getting to know yourself in a new way. That's how I see that.
Well, I really like that. I love that.
So we have Deb next, who welcomed to her new corgi tomorrow. She's getting
very
a
exciting
corgi pup, and good for you, Deb. Congratulations.
I hope you're getting the backpack for it, too, so you can carry that little pup around. But, for you, Deb, I have number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using the experience and using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
So I think it's not just about, you know, esoteric thought in this case, Deb. When I pull the six of diamonds, it's also about finances and kind of that organizing finances, insight, wisdom to where to put things, receive things. It's like that what's going out versus what's coming in kind of thing. So being insightful, a little bit intuitive, and it will certainly guide you in the right direction. So I want to say in this case, don't necessarily look to the advice of financial advisors, but follow your own gut. That's what this is telling me. So I think so. I want to say at this point, thanks for the feedback from Dr. Ione. She said that's what she's going through. Thanks for that. And Michael is saying he's needed a change of perspective, so he's going through that, and it's really healthy for him. So thanks for that, you know, and that's appreciated.
Absolutely.
I think we have Dr. Zach next.
We do. And for you, Dr. Zach, I have number 3, be who you are, walk your own path. Love this card, especially in light of our discussion. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind universal being, equally entitled to all good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction that you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
Oh, Zach, I got the 3 of clubs for you. You know what that means. Zach knows about the tarot, being a tarot reader. But my interpretation of this is retaining yourself as you move forward into new endeavors or the endeavors that you're already moving forward. It's really easy to be influenced by others when they have their ideas of how to edit your book or how to edit your words, how to edit your stuff. And if you just, you know, certainly take that advice, but with a grain of salt, because you have to stay on your unique path. So that's what I want to say to you, Zach, is as you move forward, be you. And because there's a future here, and the things that you're doing is part of your future, but you're the stamp of your future. So keep that in mind.
All right. Very good.
Tabitha, is that what you
have? I have Tabitha as well. And Tabitha, for you, I have number 6, boundaries. We got a lot of cards in the Life Leadership Paragon tonight. Boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Ooh, sensitive kind of topic here, Tabitha, but the lovers. Now, lovers of the major arcana isn't necessarily about intimacy or, you know, any kind of sensuality with another individual. It can also mean about our passion, who we believe in, what we believe in, where we're putting trust, and where we're in that shared space. You know, we're very passionate about loving our friends. We're really passionate about loving our family. And sometimes we have to look at what are the boundaries within those structures. Mm-hmm. So there might be you know, a situation right now or encountering something where, you know, you're having to put your emotions kind of in check to see it a little more objectively. So that's all I'm saying. A little bit of objectivity is always a good thing.
Well said, well said. And Tabitha, good shout out to R.L. Stine. Yep, Goosebumps and, Chain before that. Fear Streets, yeah, right there. Big part of my childhood as well, so good reference. I believe we have Audra next, if I'm not mistaken.
I do. And
Audra, for you, I have number 40, relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another.
I have to think about this for a minute, Audra, because I pulled the Ten of Diamonds, which is the Ten of Pentacles, and that's usually about the marketplace, finances, the coming and going of money, and things of value. And in this case, relationships and who's contributing, how are they contributing, how are you maybe supporting others or being supported, and it's a fairness and equitability is the word that comes to mind. You might also be looking at finances. I know that's come up a couple of times tonight, so there might be a reason for that. But in matters of relationships, it could also be the workplace. Are you being fairly compensated, you know, for what you do and growing a voice appropriately where you think you're safe to do so. And it's just looking at that finances when it comes to relationships. I don't know. That's what I think about that. Now for our resident writer, Wendy, and card keeper.
Yeah, card keeper herself. And, you know, just a remark, we thank you for keeping track of that. I don't think we've had a repeat tonight.
No.
So all new cards for people. Let's see if we can get our first one now. Wendy, for you, our new author, I have number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
Yeah, I think you're in a segue time, Wendy. So I pulled the King of Spades, and I thought, well, what does that mean? Like, how does that apply, reinvention? I can take that a bunch of ways, and it didn't feel right. So I pulled the Sun as a support to that. So here's what I think. When it comes to that King of Spades, it's an assertive energy, sometimes aggressive, generally male in this case, but I've known a lot of women to have that male energy as well. So I want to sometimes exercise caution when saying, oh, that's absolutely a man, because I don't know. What I think here is dealing with, you know, your daily job as you move into all these other independent projects. You know, look, you raise critters, you know, you cook food, you write a book, you know, and I think it's a segue time. So how you're having to deal with things while keeping your end goal, your reinvention in mind. So day job provides for you. You need to have that continuity, that consistency of finances to keep things going, but you're definitely on the right path, and there is a reinvention occurring. You know, Emma Roberts. That's fun.
That's awesome. I love it. All right, Dr. Kevin, for you, I have number 34, take and release ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
Eight of Diamonds and supported that, Kevin. That's apprenticeship again in the Pentacles. Generally, financial or, you know, physical value. Take and release. So I want to say, put your energy, again, sometimes we have to be reminded to put our energy and our thoughts into what's giving us the greater education that stabilizes ourselves in our future. So I think you're learning is what it is, kind of on-the-job learning and training yourself as you go forward, but there's always that, okay, that no longer applies. Oh, this does apply. And you're continually, I want to go back to the reinventing kind of thing of Wendy's, where you're doing a little of that on your own, Kevin. But this is really good because that eight of, you know, the eight of diamonds is all about apprenticeship. It's on the job training. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a job either. It can be your own efforts, and you continue to grow, and there's definitely reward as you keep going. So take and release. Makes sense. So I hope that makes sense to everybody. Obviously, the feedback, that's great. It's exciting. We're already halfway through August, Michael, and it blows my mind. I don't know where 2023 went. I really don't. But something I'd like to add in for people, if I had a talk with a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I have been noticing that there's more energy on a new moon than there is on a full moon. And she messaged me today and said, I think you're right. She said, I've already had customers screaming at me. She said, I can't, though, this is going to be quite the day. And I don't know why, but the last couple of full moons, you know, if I go to work at the hospital or stuff, you know, there and about, it feels really quiet. And then a few days after the full moon, you know, chaos. and I'm noticing, like, people are edgy or they're cranky or they're this. And so it's just something I'd like you all to observe. If you can see a shift in that energy frequency, where usually a full moon is, you know, whew, there's a lot of energy, but I feel like something has shifted. Now, maybe it's temporary, but if y'all in the next few weeks would kind of observe in your own lives, and maybe we can have a chat about that in the next few weeks. What do you think about full moon, new moon energy?
Absolutely.
Dr. Mike said it could be the heat. You bet it sure could be, I'll tell you.
Well, speaking of Dr. Mike, let's not forget to pull a card for him, too. I believe he is our last card of the evening.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to overlook that.
No problem.
I just didn't see it.
Dr. Mike, I have your back. I know Dr. Vicky was trying to scoot out without having to pull one for you, but don't worry. I'm keeping her on task. But no repeat cards tonight. Let's see if we get our first. Dr. Mike, I have a wild card for you, wild card number 5, Don't Hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean that one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right to self and others.
Wow, this is interesting because I pull another pentacle, though it's a 4 of diamonds, Mike. 4 of pentacles. In a word, it's how the tarot would describe it as the miser. I like to think of it as a little not so abrupt as that, or hard, harsh. It's more hanging on to what you have. So that don't hate when it comes to finances and money. We, you know, days we're frustrated that maybe we feel like we're not getting what we should be, or there's an issue over pensions or benefits or something where you feel like, you know, it's not there, or it ought to be there, or investments that you've had. So, you know, don't hate, I think, in this case, is don't have anxiety, because what this is saying here is that you absolutely are, you know, have that stabilizing force, and it's retaining it. Just you might be dealing with people about finances. So believe me, I'm way out there in the ethers on this, perhaps, but that's what I get about it. So I sure hope it makes sense. Maybe that's just a you know, something that's coming up. So keep cool.
Always good advice. And also very difficult to follow this time of year.
But, yeah. Yeah.
But, well, I
so
do think
Wendy
that...
Wendy has said that she has noticed that too.
Oh, regarding the moon.
Or Audra. Yeah, Audra, sorry. She's noticed that...
both.
Yeah, that there's about shifts and changes too.
Yeah,
so.
Both Audra and Wendy had made the same comments. And I mean, absolutely. And I wonder, you know, what it is about that. There's so many interesting aspects to that.
You know, weather and heat aside, why would we notice it at a particular time? And that's what I want to keep observing. How is the new moon frequency shifted versus the full moon? Like, is the full moon, that's normally a more active energy, but is it more dense and quiet where it erupts after? And those are the questions I kind of have about how, you know, over the next few months, I want to really observe that.
Well, I think it's an interesting challenge to everyone to kind of take note. And I definitely will do some of my same.
Yeah, Tabitha says it's the werewolves.
Absolutely. And Dr. Mike Twisgard says that, I do not hate, I just dislike.
I'm with you.
I can agree with that, Dr. Mike. But,
another good program. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
For anyone who is new, welcome to our program. We hope you join in future ones, those in the archives. You know, a shout out, and if you could ever join us live and want to get in the chat and throw in your 2 cents worth, we are always open and welcoming of new folks.
Absolutely. Well said. And just we appreciate you joining us. And even if you catch up with us in the archives, we appreciate that too. You know,
yes.
It's a hectic world. Not everybody can, you know, meet at the same time. But if it comes up, absolutely join. I think you're going to really enjoy that kind of back and forth experience that we get with our live chat. And we absolutely love the contributions. So, and I can't wait for next week's discussion, artificial intelligence. Pretty soon.
I've got a few thoughts about this.
I do too.
Besides, I just watched Matrix, The Resurrection. I know it's a couple of years old, but I only just caught it. And of course I love it, but it has nothing to do with next week's coffee. Talk, but
gotcha.
It got me thinking about artificial intelligence again.
And I suspect that you and I are going to disagree on maybe a point or two. I think maybe...
good.
And let's keep it as a... not to have any spoilers, so you'll have to tune in next week to get the dramatic, you know, confrontation between ideas.
Michael and Dr. Vicky butt heads on. No, I'm kidding. Don't let them push you around out there, folks.
Absolutely.
Just be you. Keep chill. You know?
Don't get
crazy world, be yourself.
Don't get stuck in groupthink and don't let the turkeys get you down.
That's right.
But, well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, everybody. We love seeing you. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.